Many, many years ago, my grandparents sent me and my sister off to month-long summer camps. I went to Camp Country Lad in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and my sister went to Camp Monterey, which was the girls' camp. And both of us were gone for a month during the summer, and I think that the agenda my grandparents had was that this might spark the onset of another sibling for me and my sister. Notice how delicately I brought that into the play. But every time we went to summer camp, there was always a major field trip. One year I went to the Grand Ole Opry, and that was an experience I still remember. And one year, I remember, we went to Mammoth Cave over in Kentucky. And that was an experience, too. I remember that I'm having to... I'm not used to this anymore. I remember we got down into the cave, and the attendant, or the guide, or whatever you call them, said, "Now I want you to experience darkness." And they turned out the lights, and the darkness was complete. And I don't care if you were down there for 5 minutes or 5 days or even a year, your eyes would never adjust to that darkness. No matter how long you were down there, you could not see your hand in front of your face. The darkness was complete. And that has stuck with me all these years, that vision of complete darkness. And I can't help but think that was the kind of darkness which was at the beginning. And God said, "Let there be light." And when they turned the lights back on, they had to do it slowly so our eyes wouldn't be damaged. Then you could make out all the features of the cave again. You could see the reality and the beauty that surrounded you. And I think that may have been my first call to faith and the beginning of the idea that I might want to be a pastor of some kind, because I couldn't wait to get home and tell my friends how deep the darkness was and how brilliant that light was and the difference it made in the whole experience. John comes to testify to the light because the world was kind of in darkness at that time. Things weren't good around the Middle East and the Holy Land. Things were kind of desperate. There was an undercurrent of rebellion brewing against the Roman occupation. There was an undercurrent of dissatisfaction with the ruling elite. There was an undercurrent of poverty and desperation. There was darkness of the soul in a lot of people. And all of a sudden, here comes John testifying to the light. And it's no wonder that the priests and the Pharisees sent out people to go find out, is this a new prophet of God? Is this the reincarnation of an old prophet of God? Or is this just somebody who needs to be locked away in the loony bin and given lots of psychotropic medications? I have a list of people in my life I'd like to do that with, but that's entirely beside the point. I don't know why I had to say that, but it just did. And so they go out and they finally, after they listen to him for a while, they finally got up the gumption to say, "Who are you?" And he says, well, I'm not Elijah. I'm not Isaiah. I'm nowhere near as important as one of those. I am a voice, simply a voice, crying in a wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. That was a moment. That was a warning. That was a proclamation. That was encouragement at once, along with deep prophecy. The light is coming, and I am the voice who lets you know. You know, before a king would go somewhere in his kingdom or her queendom, there was a herald that was sent out. And the herald, as I told Sunday school class this morning, I'm making a pitch for the adult Sunday school class. The herald would go out into the towns and into the countryside, and he would say, now y'all got to shape up. Okay, there's litter on the side of the road. There is corruption in the city government. There are people who don't look quite Jewish enough. You need to scrub up the children, make them look like citizens. You need to paint your houses and clean your sidewalks, because the king is coming, and if things don't look good, it will not be well for you in the land which God gave to your fathers. The king had the power of life and death. And most kings in that time and place were not at all reluctant to exercise that power very vigorously. It was a warning, and it was also a word of hope. John says, clean yourselves up. Make yourselves look good. Straighten the path. The king is coming. But not like the kings you are used to. This one brings the light. And he's out there and he's among you. And guess what? I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. I'm not worthy to do the work of the lowliest slave. Prepare the way of the Lord. And we sit here kind of smug and we say, yeah, that was John's job. That's what he was called to do. I am so glad I don't have to wear camel hair and a leather belt and eat locusts and wild honey. That was John's calling. That is not mine. But guess what? Guess who John really was? Guess who John really is? John is each and every one of us, because you see, we are called still to prepare that path. We are called still to share that light. We are called still to be prophets of the coming of Jesus Christ. We are not in these days allowed the luxury of sitting back and being casual Christians. We are called to be those who go out in the community and who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I can see some of you are uncomfortable with that. You think I'm calling you to go out and pass out Bible tracts and thump your Bibles on the street corner. And no, you don't have to do that unless you feel led to. There are enough of those kind of people around. When I was in Rome, I lived in West Rome. We had a kind of an older house, and it had big azaleas that hadn't been tended for years, and I was trying to whip them into shape one Saturday. I was working on the sermon in my head, lest you think I was being a lazy gadabout. And I was bending down and picking up things and clearing out underbrush. And a car drove by. It drove by rather slowly. It was an older model Ford, as I remember it. And all of a sudden, something came flying through the air and hit me in the chest. And it fell down. And I looked, and it was a plastic bag. And it had a rock in it. And also a Bible tract. I was a victim of a drive-by evangelism. It happened to me. Thank the Lord I don't have any scars up here. Didn't really draw blood, but it did draw my attention. I read the Bible tract. And after I did, I was in despair of going to hell for a long time. I told the church about it, Westminster Presbyterian over in Rome. I said, we have got to do something about this. The Baptists are going crazy. And they said, no, you just need to get used to the community in which we live. So I did. And we began a program of very low-key evangelism in the neighborhood and in all of West Rome. We began a program of simply inviting people to come to church. Nothing big, nothing proud, no free food, no gospel music. Just come and be a part of our neighborhood. Come to church. Be a part of the fellowship. And it worked. We never packed all the pews, but people came because they were glad to see a church where hellfire wasn't preached, where damnation was really not in our vocabulary. Rather, we used words like grace and hope and fellowship and love and sharing and being a part of a loving community rather than a fearful fellowship. You know, there's a difference between going to church and coming to church. I want to throw that out to you this morning. I don't go to church except to go to a building. I come to church for the congregation and the fellowship and the love we share. And then when my cup has been filled, then I go out into the community and I go out and I share the love of God, not the fear of hell. John was preaching about the light, and I think that's what we're all called to do. We're called to be little Johns. Go out and share what is there. I learned something this past Friday. I went to a Sabbath service and end of Hanukkah party at my home church in Blue Ridge. The Jewish community meets there. And I learned that the Jewish day starts at sunset. You probably know that, but you might not understand why. The beginning of the day starts at sunset because the beginning of creation was in the dark. And only later did God say, let there be light. In the Jewish tradition, you must live through the dark to experience the light. That is God's order pattern. And I thought that was wonderful. We all live in the dark, but we can proclaim the light to a world which knows darkness. The question on the sermon is, who is he? I want to change that. With all apologies to my English professors, not who is he, who is we? We are John the Baptist, proclaiming the light of Jesus Christ to the world. Let us pray. Help us, O Lord, to remember that you have called us to live and to love and to serve and be the light of the world. Guide us and keep us, we pray, and empower us to be your disciples through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us stand and declare.